today. Defense officials testify before the Senate on Afghanistan. We've got the latest there. And the Pfizer CEO says life could return to normal only with annual COVID-19 boosters. It's weird because I feel like there's someone that's speaking to you right now who told you at the beginning that this was where they were going to take it. But I digress. We've got a lot to get into, and it all starts right now. Hey, welcome to the news and why it matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, today joined once again by your favorite, fan favorites, Blaze TV contributors, both Yaku Bouyans, host of the Yaku Bouyans Show. Thank you for being here. Also, Eric July, host of For Canon's Sake, Young Ripa 59 on YouTube. Thank you as well for being here. Let's get into the headlines. I know that we've got several different sound bites today to get into as far as the defense officials who were testifying before the Senate today on Afghanistan and on General Milley, who is, of course, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, on his calls regarding China, which I know, you know, this story surfaced a couple weeks ago. It was pretty damning. So we will get into all of that. So, of course, they were all testifying before the Senate on Capitol Hill. You know, it's interesting because if we could just, let me do it in this order. Let's listen to Joe Biden back in August when he told George Stephanopoulos in an interview, because this is what a lot of the testimony circled around, in an interview that he was just listening to what the generals around him were saying as far as Afghanistan, pulling all of the troops. And he said no general advised him to keep any troops in Afghanistan, with a little caveat there. Listen to Biden.
No one told, your military advisor did not tell you, no, we should just keep 2,500 troops. It's been a stable situation for the last several years. We can do that. We can continue to do that.
No one said that to me that I can recall.
Oh, that you can recall. Well, I don't think the man can recall what he had for breakfast in the morning. So that's a really cute little caveat to put in there just in case. Well, I said that I can recall. You all say I have dementia, so you have to believe that I can't recall much these days. But so that was Joe Biden back in August, 2 months ago, yeah. a month and a half ago. So here is General Milley today in the Senate hearing saying that he believed that Joe Biden should keep 2,500 troops, which I'm not good at math. I say this often. I'm not good at math. I think 2,500 troops is, in fact, much greater than zero. That he should keep 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Listen.
Yes, my assessment was back in the fall of 20, and it remained consistent throughout, that we should keep a steady state of 2,500, and it could bounce up to 3,500, maybe something like that, in order to move toward a negotiated, gated solution.
Did you ever present that assessment personally to President Biden?
I don't discuss exactly what my conversations are with the sitting president in the Oval Office, but I can tell you what my personal opinion was, and I'm always candid.
I mean, I feel like if he hadn't discussed it with him, he would have just probably said no. But that's just my personal opinion, which I do share.
Yeah, but it's not just Milley, though. It's McKenzie as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's corroborated by two parties.
And well,
two,
so exactly. So let me get into that, because we have that one next. So General Kenneth McKenzie, following up on all of this, says that he was actually present when General Milley and others gave their recommendations, and that he's very confident that Joe Biden heard them. Watch.
Did you talk to the president about General Miller's recommendation?
Sir, I was present when that discussion occurred, mm-hmm. and I'm confident that the president heard all the recommendations and listened to them very thoughtfully.
Well, there you have it. So who to believe? Who to believe is Joe Biden throwing all of his generals under the bus and saying, no, I was just following what the recommendations of the experts around me were saying? Or are the generals telling the truth when they say we never told him that he should pull everyone? We said that he should keep 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Gentlemen, your thoughts.
You got two generals here. One is a little more forthcoming and talks about the conversation that was had with the president. The other one is suggesting that, listen, we told the man, my opinion in the fall of 2020 already was 2,500, 3,500, but I'm not going to discuss what I said or didn't say to the president. I want to get back to that later when you cover another story, right? Just okay. to show the man's lack of spine. This is Milley I'm talking about. Right, because there's another instance where he's so quick to talk about what he's discussing with the president. But the issue here for me, this is very serious. I mean, we joke around vaccines and COVID. We're starting to talk about generals and military advising a president, and a president going against what he's advised to do clearly has with American lives at stake, and then just go, oops, I can't remember. Now, the fact of the matter probably is, Eric, that he really can't remember.
I know, it's like,
that he
I'm
really
torn
can't
here.
Remember.
I'm torn
no,
here.
No, I believe, actually believe him, that he really can't remember.
Can't recall.
And then we can't, right. he can't recall, I can't recall, that he truly cannot recall. Okay, so you're unfit to be the commander-in-chief of the United States. Is that what you're saying? Because if you can't recall what two of your generals are corroborating that they spoke to, and one says, I am certain that he basically weighed the options and still decided to just leave Americans behind. This is a serious moment that we need to pause and say, okay, hold on one second. This is an admission to I'm unfit to run, you know, as president of the United States.
Yeah.
Eric. Yeah. So backtracking just a little bit, Milley was saying that he had been pretty candid about what his position was. In itself, that's an admission, as far as I'm concerned, that the president knew, or we're talking about Biden, knew exactly what his position was. And it doesn't matter, because McKenzie in itself just said, I don't care.
Right,
I'll throw everybody.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll throw everybody
I'm going
over
in there.
It is man,
in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every man for himself. All right.
At this point, it is every man yeah. for himself. So I throw everybody out of the bus. Not only did Milley tell him that I was there.
Yeah.
And the president was well informed.
Yeah, exactly. So he was informed. He wanted to make sure that he had no part of going down with any sort of ship. So really what the discussion is did he just take that information and say, all right, thanks, I'm going to do something completely different? And I'll be the first one to tell you that having troops in Afghanistan, I would actually lean towards them actually telling the truth, because it hadn't been up maybe to the militaristic the regime, if you will, of even our own country. They'll be in there all day long or all year long or all decade long if it's up to them. So, yeah, 2,500, 3,500, and maybe an instance happens that turns into 5,000. Who knows? But really what we're discussing here is, OK, you had a plan to move out, which was completely disastrous. And you didn't, you know, you took them out before you got everybody else out. And that led to the problems that we had been discussing here, certainly on the show. I lean towards what you're saying, that he legitimately doesn't remember, doesn't care to remember.
Yeah.
And that information, of course, was presented to him. His intellect or where his mind is at, Joe Biden, look, I know that we make fun of him for it, and I will continue to do that, to be fair. But on a serious note, we can't leave that out of the realm of possibilities that he legitimately does not recall having that conversation.
Like, if Joe Biden is ever on trial, there is reasonable doubt that he genuinely 100%. Does not remember anything.
100%. Yeah. As much as we would like him to know, because at least it gives us a way to say, okay, he's being negligent or something of that nature, maybe even being just straight up evil.
Right.
But he does have an out, but it's a reasonable out that this fool just don't recall anything. But he also could have just made a bad decision as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me, Yaku, I know that you mentioned the other part of this testimony, which was General Milley. We are going to go to break in a second, but I do want to give you a chance to comment on that because it was very interesting. General Milley was defending making the two calls to his Chinese counterpart. There were a lot of people who said that he was disloyal to President Trump because he had said that he would basically give China a heads up if anything were to come their way. Now, he said in the hearing today that it was much, much different. Here is his explanation for that. Listen.
With respect to the Chinese calls, I routinely communicated with my counterpart, General Li, with the knowledge and coordination of civilian oversight. I am specifically directed to communicate with the Chinese by Department of Defense guidance, the policy dialogue system. The calls on 30 October and 8 January were coordinated before and after with Secretary Esper and Acting Secretary Miller's staffs and the interagency. The specific purpose of the October and January calls were to generate or were generated by concerning intelligence, which caused us to believe the Chinese were worried about an attack on them by the United States. I know, I am certain, that President Trump did not intend to attack the Chinese. And it is my directed responsibility, and it was my directed responsibility by the Secretary, to convey that intent to the Chinese.
So much different characterization there from General Milley. Yaku, you brought it up. I know we got to go to break, but I'm going to give you the last word on this.
I'll be real quick. He doesn't want to talk about what he said to Trump, but he's willing to call China about what's discussed with Trump and not with Trump. So there where lies the loyalty, number one. Okay, there it is. It's just out there. I'm gonna tell the Chinese what Trump's doing, but I'm not going to tell you, Congress, under oath, right?
My conversation with Biden.
What I did with Biden. So mm-hmm. there's your loyalties. But the issue is what he said in that conversation. He said, the president can't do this alone. I will not let this happen on my watch. You know, he will not throw a nuke. And the timing was interesting. The call happens two days after when? January 6th. January 6th. Okay, so January 6th, the posse in D.C. goes, hey, call our buddies in China and let them know the rumors, which maybe they started, right? We're not coming for them. And forget about Trump. Don't worry to consult him on this. He's only your president. So when the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, said this is treasonous, it is. Mm. It is. You call our number one nemesis and give them information, right? And now you can't even tell America what you told the sitting current president? Come on.
Yeah. A very interesting contrast there, for sure. It's almost like there is some sort of a deep state, but hey, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I really want this video to stay on YouTube. So I'm just going to say, certainly there's not. All right, we've got a lot more to come. First, I want to thank our sponsor, Built Bar. So if you like a good snack throughout the day, maybe you have a sweet tooth like me, but you don't want to expand your waistline while you are snacking, you got to try Built Bar. It is a protein bar, but it tastes like a candy bar. It is 180 calories or less, all of their flavors, and they've got that high protein, they've got the low sugar and the low carbs, and they've got a bunch of delicious flavors. One of my favorites is the coconut. Tastes like you're eating a Mounds candy bar, but like I said, you're gonna feel like you're cheating on your diet, but you're not. You can still be healthy. All right, you gotta check them out. Go get a mixed box if you're unsure of the flavor that you want to try. You can try them all. Go to built.com. Use promo code news15. You will get 15% off of your first order only at B-U-I-L-T, built.com. Now, at the same time that Pfizer, which you may recall is one of the companies who is producing one of the COVID-19 vaccines, at the same time that Pfizer is testing an antiviral pill that could fight off COVID-19 infection among people who have a close contact that test positive for the virus, the Pfizer CEO is going on ABC News and explaining that, you know what, we could get back to normal in, I don't know, maybe a year. It is going to be a new normal. And by the way, you're going to have to continue taking your booster shots for COVID-19. Here is the Pfizer CEO.
I agree that within a year, I think we will be able to come back to normal life. I don't think that this means that variants will not be continue coming. And I don't think that this means that we should be able to live our lives without having immune, without having vaccinations, basically. But that's, again, remains to be seen. The most likely scenario for me, it is that because the virus is spread all over the world, that we will continue seeing new variants that are coming out, and also we will have vaccines that they will last at least a year. And I think the most likely scenario is annual revaccinations, but we don't know really. We need to wait and see the data.
I want to welcome to the program Del Bigtree. He is the host of The High Wire. And he also, Del, I'm sure you don't know this, but I actually am a big fan of yours. I've been following you for a very long time since the movie Vaxxed. And, you know, went and saw the bus and met you at the time. I was just a mom trying to make the right decision for her child. So it's really great for you to be on the program. We're very happy to have you. Del, I want to ask you first, before I toss it to the table over here, how did we get to a place where natural immunity is not discussed and we hear these people going on television saying, well, I mean, yeah, you're just going to have to get vaccinated for the rest of time.
Right. Well, this is what happens when you have the most powerful lobby in Washington, the most powerful lobby in the world, dictating policies for the U.S. government and the world. Farm has been outspending oil and gas 2-1 for many years now. We fight wars in the Middle East for oil and gas. I've been saying for many years, what do you think Farm is going to get? They want you. They want us all enrolled in a program that's going to inject us with pharmaceutical products every year for the rest of our lives. As he said, I don't believe you'll be able to live without vaccinations. Now, the reason he's saying that is because the vaccine itself is a complete and total failure. It did nothing that it promised to do. It did not stop the infection. It does not stop transmission. Therefore, it will never reach herd immunity. And as he honestly admits there, we will only have more and more variants in the future, so we will need to be getting a vaccine every year of our lives, which works great for a CEO of a company that's going to make tens of billions of dollars every year from these vaccinations. But what we've been advocating for is natural immunity. Natural immunity is the only thing that neutralizes this virus. It is the only way to reach herd immunity, but we are erasing herd immunity. That's what the vaccine is accomplishing. It's erasing our ability to get this virus under control. A naturally immune person can handle any variant that is out there. A vaccinated person can only handle the variant that they were vaccinated for. And thus, you're going to have this conveyor belt of being on pharmaceutical products until the day you die. I think you have the right to make that choice. If you want to take vaccines every single year and keep fighting this and getting sick anyway, that's up to you. But anyone that gets this natural infection, like many of the athletes that are now stepping up and saying refuse to get the vaccine, they're adequately and properly pointing out, I have better immunity because I've already had this virus. My odds of getting it based on almost every study we know is less than 1% is the reinfection rate of those that have already had the virus. So if you've already had it, then you are now protecting everyone around you, including yourself. That is our only way forward if we want to live without the virus. If we want to live with the virus mutating and constantly being around us, then we should present and push this vaccine even harder.
Yeah, you know, Del, you raise up some obviously great points. You know, I was just at a bridal shower where most of the people were fully vaccinated, and there were people who walked away from the bridal shower, got COVID-19. They were all vaccinated. And it's like, wait, so why are we forcing everyone to get the vaccine when you can still get the freaking virus and transmit it to other people? It just feels like we're living in genuinely 1984. Honestly, Yaku, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, good. Del, good to see you again. It was good to be with you on stage, and your authenticity is amazing. Del,
yeah, wait, by the way, yeah. I'm really mad that I missed that, Del. I was supposed to talk with you guys at the Austin rally not that long ago,
yeah.
And I was, you know, sick.
Yeah,
I'll
tell you this, Del, one of my favorite line for Del on that stage that day, and I got real fiery that day, but Del said, I am unvaxxed from birth. And Dell's unvaxxed. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. Del, for me, the big deal here is we're replacing God. That's honestly what it's about. It's an anti-God movement. You cannot replace God. Just like no camera or light in this place will ever replace the eye or the sun, you're never going to replace natural human immune system. Mm-hmm. Never. Ever will that happen. And so the second people line up, and it's all based on fear. It's a fear doctrine 100%. And when you take that fear pill, you'll line up like lambs to the slaughter, right? And they're going to extort that and exploit it for financial gain because that's their MO. And Dell's right. Yes, that CEO is smiling. He'd like mm-hmm. 3 shots a year. His quarterly reports is what he lives by.
Right.
That's all that's important for him, right? And so we've left people behind in this country because if people actually mattered, Sarah, not a single human being would cross the border if they were not vaccinated,
right.
If they were not, you
if
know,
this was
tested,
truly a pandemic,
if it truly was
dangerous.
So dangerous, mm-hmm. right? Like New Zealand, one case and we shut the country. If it was that dangerous that we're all going to die from this thing, no one would cross the border.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the biggest joke under the sun. But we need to get back to just saying God knows best. The human immune system is amazing. Look at kids. I mean, they're so, you know, they bounce back from anything. My grandma made me go to my neighbor's house. She said, they got chicken pox. You're going to go on a play date. Why? So you can build immunity, right? And that's just where we are. I mean,
it is funny you bring that up. You know, you look at old books. I got a copy of an old Arthur book, and it was like Arthur and the chicken pox. And Eric, to Yaku's point, the chicken pox was, again, it was totally fine in the book. Arthur got to stay home from school and he got like ice cream or whatever, and he was a very happy camper. Nowadays, interestingly enough, once a vaccine is reaches market, all of a sudden, these are very, very deadly viruses, and you have to get vaccinated or else you could die, Eric.
Yeah, first of all, it's just really bizarre that we see something like that where the CEO of a friggin' company, and we're supposed to be listening to him as if he has right. no other interest
right.
That he is keeping in
no
mind.
No conflict of interest.
Not at all. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to need you guys taking it
He's
every
for
year.
Us, you Eric. You got to believe that.
Of course. You well, would absolutely yeah, love yeah. that, would
the
you
white
not?
Knights
for
of
us
big
to
pharma.
Continue to have to take these every year. I don't know, man. This thing is starting to sound a lot like the flu, though, when you look at the fact that they're trying to get you to take it. I wonder if those efficiency rates will start going down like that, like it does with the flu, to the 40 percentile or whatever. Look, this is just gaslighting is what it is. The natural immunity, they're so afraid to talk about it. They skirt around the issue any opportunity that it is that they get. We've seen Fauci dance around this concept. It's to the point now we got NBA players having an answer for this, like Bradley Beal and Jonathan Isaac. And they're like, I had it. I recovered. We know you can get it despite being vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Why are you worrying about me? And you will see, like, if you listen to the people that are asking these questions, these reporters, they're so, like, it's like a cult, right? Because they don't even know how to respond to that. Like, well, yeah, I guess what you say makes sense, but why would you say that? Like, why? Of course, you know, you're asking men that are in their early 20s, mid-20s, in the prime shape of their life, professional athletes that have recovered from this. Why on earth are that least vulnerable population? And Jonathan Isaac, dared to even mention the rise in other side effects, myocarditis, pericarditis, that specifically in young men, they've even conceded themselves that it is an increasing risk there. So you're talking about possibly, potentially lowering the risk of, let's say, hospitalization or something. That risk is already low for that demographic and age and health demographic anyway.
Yeah.
So if anything, you can look at it and the risk a benefit kind of cost benefit analysis. Maybe even getting it is increasing their risk in something else. And it's simply not worth it, especially if they've already got the antibodies.
Right.
This is a simple question that they can't answer because it's not about anything other than being a part of their cult. This isn't even about the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. There's a reason why they have these guys on video, Biden showing, even though he's still wearing a mask, showing his him getting his little booster, because it's about pledging your allegiance to their cause. This has nothing to do with science.
No. Yeah, I want to, Del, after the break, I want to get into the conversation that you had with Dr. Ryan Cole, because I think it's a very important revelation. Yeah. That I appreciate you shining light on, and I'm trying to shine as much light on it as possible. But I want to also get your thoughts on the National Guard, who has been activated by New York to alleviate right. the worker shortage caused by the vaccine mandate.
Why are people doing a pandemic?
Right,
man?
Right. I mean, they we're talking about nurses. We're talking about healthcare professionals who were the heroes last year.
Oh, they were the heroes.
The heroes last year when, by the way, there was no vaccine to protect them. And now all of a sudden, yeah. They're tossed to the curb. And like, I'm not so sure I want a member of the National Guard. I'm like, I don't know your experience.
No, they said they're trained, Sarah. They're trained to put a Band-Aid on you. Don't worry.
Yeah, they're trained. So nothing to worry about. Del, what are your thoughts on this madness?
Well, I mean, first of all, we have President Biden laying off our heroes, those frontline doctors that stood in the face of adversity all last year taking care of us. Let's lay them off and let's take our military and turn them into scabs that show up to take their jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to talk about demoralizing a nation. No one has ever done anything as pathetic and disgusting as this president is right now.
Yeah, it's so true. All right, well, Del, if you'll hang with us, I would really love to get into your interview with Dr. Ryan Cole. You know, we have this conversation often on the program about, you know, hey, guys, there's no long-term studies to any of this. Just be aware. So I think your conversation was very important. I'm looking forward to getting into it with you after the break. First, I want to thank our sponsor this segment, Novo. So if you are a small business, owner of a company, you're an entrepreneur, do you know the number one way to avoid unfair bank fees? Okay, it's very, very easy. Step one is you close your account with whoever you have. And step two is you open a new Novo free business banking account. They are the number one business banking app. They are built from the ground up to be very, very simple and free business banking. Money Magazine, by the way, called them the best business checking account of 2021. You're not going to find any minimum balances with Novo, any transaction limits, no hidden fees. You can sign up for free in under 10 minutes at banknovo.com/Y. You'll get free ATM use with your debit card. It is very easy. It is very, very secure. And they have these built-in profit-first accounting and invoicing. Plus, you can tag each transaction and upload receipts. I'm just telling you guys, if you're an entrepreneur out there and you are looking for ways to be efficient and focus more on making money, which, let's face it, that's why you went into business, you got to try out Novo. By the way, they streamline with services like Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks. That's also free. They offer over $5,000 in perks and discounts just for signing up. So go sign up. What are you waiting for? Go to banknovo.com/Y. You will get a free copy of Novo's Small Business Starter Guide. That is banknovo.com/Y. As I mentioned last segment, Del, who we have with us, Del Bigtree, is the host of the podcast and show, The High Wire with Del Bigtree. He recently interviewed Dr. Ryan Cole, who explained that he had been talking with some counterparts, some doctors over in, I believe it was Ireland, and they were seeing this unusual increase in cancer patients. They were trying to figure out why. And here is Dr. Ryan Cole on Del's show explaining how they can maybe make sense of that. Watch.
I got a very interesting note from a family doc that's been in Ireland for 40 years. He knows his community, he knows his patients. And he said, hey, you know, a lot of my patients are getting the shot, some aren't. But in those that are, and then he listed the number of cancers he's seen in a 6-week period of time that he's never seen in a 40-year career. Wow. And so he asked what could be causing that. So I sent him that paper as a potential mechanism, because that toll-like receptor number 4 is critical in the microenvironment to keep cancers at check. And all day long, our cells are fighting off mutations in different cells. If they see the mutation, they'll try to kill that cell. If this receptor is downregulated, then all those downstream molecules inside that cell that's fighting there, it can't fight, because those signals are now turned off. The cytokines, the interferons, the things that will attack that atypical cell. So we're seeing the early signals of this.
Now, Del, you did a fabulous job, I think, on your program of trying to explain this in layman's terms. The doctor did as well, but he is still a doctor. Yeah. And, you know, much smarter than the rest of us. So could you Right. kind of explain where he was going with this and connect that to what you saw?
Well, what's really scary about this vaccine, there's many, many things we report on the High Wire about all of the problems we see that are causing injury with the vaccine. We have the highest reported death rate from this vaccine. It's higher than every other vaccine ever made in America, all put together over the last 20 years, have not had as many deaths reported as this one vaccine has in the last 9 months. We're talking about 12,000 reported deaths. This is another issue. It's going to be long-term issues of autoimmune disease and cancer. Why is it happening? Well, as it turns out, when the scientists were developing the mRNA vaccine, which is what Pfizer and Moderna are using, the problem with mRNA is if it's foreign and it goes into your body, your own immune system attacks it and kills it dead. It sees it as a foreign invader, as an enemy, and it kills it. It's exactly what you want your immune system to do. So they were trying to figure out, how do we get the mRNA into your body so it can get to your cells and get your cells to start becoming a virus manufacturing plant, which is what the goal of the mRNA vaccine is to teach your cells the code and then have your cells make this deadly spike protein in billions and billions of numbers, and then hopefully your immune system sees it and then goes and creates antibodies, and that's the whole way this vaccine works. But how were they going to get the mRNA to, you know, travel to the center of the universe of your body without being attacked by your immune system? Well, they came up with a way to manipulate the code of the mRNA so that it turns off your toll-like receptors. Now, we won't get too deep into the weeds, but these are basically your sentries that guard your temple of your cells. And so they go around and they like touch everything that's coming through your body. And what they're looking for is anything that is not self. right? Anything that is foreign, they go, oh, this looks foreign, and they tell the killer cells in your body, kill this, kill it dead. They'll inject it with an interferon, and they'll kill it dead inside, and that's how your immune system works. Well, in this infinite genius, in this vaccine, what they said is, let's turn that off. Let's turn off how the immune system finds foreign viruses and bacteria and problems. Let's just basically kill those sentries dead. Then our vaccine can get into the cells. Well, then so can everything else out there in the world, including cancer and disease. It's why we believe we're seeing a rise in shingles right after the vaccine. It's now being called a side effect of the vaccine. Why would you get shingles? There's no shingles virus in this vaccine. Well, because these toll-like receptors are constantly battling off the chickenpox virus that's in your body, constantly fighting off cancers that are in your body every day. There's a battle going on fighting cancer and winning. What we've just done is taking your best cancer fighters, and this vaccine, the first thing it does before it even starts working is kill your cancer fighters and your immune autoimmune disease fighters and the ones that are looking at viruses and bacteria. We're essentially rendering your immune system incapable, immobilizing it in order to get our vaccine into your body. This is, as was stated earlier, that this is why this is interfering with God, if you want to look at it that way. We are interfering with this brilliant natural immune system. You know, for those people that believe we were created in the image and likeness of God, no virus, no bacteria gets through this amazing immune system unless some idiot in a laboratory goes in and turns your immune system off. And that's what Ryan Cole is saying. They're very worried. They're saying, and by the way, he's not alone. The reason I brought him on the show is I've had a half a dozen oncologists that I know reach out to me and say exactly the same thing. Dell, I'm seeing cancer rates like I've never seen it. My patients that are all in remission, they're just coming out of remission. And at rates that we calculate this every year, we look at how long our remission rates are lasting. It's what, you know, they brag about as oncologists, and it's all falling apart. And they're starting to ask, well, wait a minute, when did this start? And they're asking their patients, did you get the vaccine? And they're recognizing that those that are getting vaccinated are immediately losing that space where they had it in remission. The cancer's coming back. And then the oncologists are saying, we're also seeing all sorts of weird cancers popping up. I had a whistleblower on my show from a hospital 2 weeks ago, Deborah, who said that the cancers that are coming up are so infectious and so fast that we don't even have time to biopsy them. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that say? What it means is your immune system is just stepping out of the way and letting the cancer ravage your body without any attack on it whatsoever. This is going to be very problematic, and we're going to start seeing the repercussions, I think, of this over the next months and years. You're going to see, I think, a gigantic increase in debilitating autoimmune diseases and cancers like we've never seen it before. And that's just one of the, you know, long-term concerns that should have been caught in a safety trial had we done long-term safety trials, which is all I was ever advocating for. Yeah. I've never tried to shut down a vaccine program. I've simply been saying we need to do a long-term double-blind safety trial like we do on every other drug we take that lasts a few years so that we would have caught this problem and we would have said, don't give this to people yet. It's not ready. Unfortunately, over 160, maybe 70 million people in America have now wiped out their immune system with this vaccine. They're now prone to cancer and autoimmune disease and all sorts of other issues. If you go to my show, we'll talk about antibody-dependent enhancement and the fact that the vaccine can actually help a coronavirus kill you. That's what happened in all the animal trials of coronavirus vaccines. And now we're very concerned that we're about to start seeing that happen with the vaccinated individuals who will start, I believe, this fall, this next flu season, and over the next year or two, I believe you're going to see the highest death rates from flu and coronavirus and rhinoviruses that have ever been seen. And if we're honest about it, we'll recognize it's the vaccinated that are dying because the vaccine actually has this weird side effect where it helps the virus go into the cells and kill the host. These are major, major problems, and it's not my opinion. On the high wire, I've been interviewing Dr. Robert Malone, inventor of mRNA vaccines, that is telling us about these issues. Geert Vandenbosch, who ran the Ebola vaccine program for Gavi and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Dr. Michael Yeadon, ex-vice president of Pfizer's immunology department. So these are heavyweights that are putting their careers on the line to warn us about what they think is an extremely dangerous vaccine and has the potential to do serious damage to our species.
Yeah, very well said, Del. And gentlemen, I want to get your thoughts at the table, but I want to make sure to utilize the time that we have left with you, Del. And I guess the biggest question that I have, and I don't want to speak for you, so I'll just throw out what I'm kind of ruminating about in my head, and I'll let you speak to it. I'm hearing all of this. I'm hearing this from Dr. Cole. I'm hearing it from you. And all I can think of is this. How could this possibly be unforeseen? How could these people who are supposed to be some of the smartest people in the world, in the country, they understand how our bodies work better than myself. I won't speak for you because you are much more knowledgeable than I am, but then the average person, they're the ones who are supposed to be the experts in this. How could this have been unforeseen? This just feels a lot like malintent.
I agree with you, but I try to avoid jumping to conclusions. I cannot, figure out what the, motivations are of people. I have had the opportunity to sit across the table from Tony Fauci, however, when Robert Kennedy Jr. was asked to mount a vaccine task force, we went and had a meeting with the National Institute of Health, Francis Collins, Tony Fauci is right across from me, and many of the luminaries of our virology department. And I will say this, and I said this to my wife, this was back in 2017. I said to her, after that meeting, I was shocked to find that these scientists and doctors, for the most part, really believe in what they're doing. And they just happen to have these incredible blinders to all of the side effects and all of the ways that they could overcome those problems. I said, but there's one guy in the room that didn't even seem human to me. I believe he knows what's going on here. I believe he knows how dangerous things are. And I think if there's anyone I've ever met that I could describe as being evil, it's the guy that was sitting across from me. I barely knew who he was at that moment. We all know who he is now, Dr. Anthony Fauci. I do think he is a part of something much darker going on here. And it really only takes a few leaders to get the minions to go along with it. I don't think all the doctors and nurses that are, giving this vaccine are aware of how dangerous it is. I am starting to really question doctors, however, that are denying patients ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, budesonide, treatments that are working all around the world. We're being beat out by Uttar Pradesh in the middle of India. They don't even have running water, but they have lower rates of coronavirus and death than we do because they use ivermectin. And meanwhile, I just had, someone that watches our show all the time is a very powerful donor of ours, just had two of their parents die in the hospital, and the hospital refused, even though the daughter of her parents was saying, I want them to get ivermectin, I want budesonide, I want vitamin C. The hospital refused and said, you'll get remdesivir, and we're putting them on a ventilator, and if you don't accept that, then take them out of our hospital. I think we're at a point now where useless idiots, and I hate to refer to it, but that is people that go along with a protocol that they know is killing people. We now have doctors that are murdering hundreds of thousands of Americans. That is why we have such a high death rate. We should have a death rate like Uttar Pradesh, but we won't because of the pharmaceutical industry. Pfizer, as you pointed out at the top, has got a drug that's going to fight this illness. We already have a drug. We have ivermectin. It's pennies on the dollar. We have hydroxychloroquine. But because they can't patent them again and they can't make millions of dollars, we're going to murder people until we get to something that does work that also costs money. This is a sick moment in time. I think history will reflect very poorly. I think this will go right down there with the Salem witch trials or even Nazi Germany, where we're going to ask ourselves, my God, how did so many doctors and nurses that said that they really cared about people murder so many innocent lives with a protocol that was completely deadly when there was known treatments that were available and were not being allowed in hospitals?
Yeah, Del, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. You guys, if you have not yet checked out Del's show, it is The High Wire with Del Bigtree. He is an Emmy Award-winning producer. He knows his stuff, all right? A big fan of yours. Like I said, Del, will you come join us again?
Thank you. I would love to. And everybody, check out thehighwire.com. We're doing it every week, and I'm handing all of my evidence to the audience. You get it in your hands. I'm all about transparency. I would love to do this again.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Del. We'll see you soon.
All right.
We have got to tell you before we go to break about fast-growing trees. Com, okay? Big box store experts are going to tell you that the best time to plant trees is like, well, I don't know, maybe in the spring, or I'm not really sure. Let me ask someone else. Actually, the best time to plant is fall, which means now is the time to go to fastgrowingtrees.com. You don't want to go to one of those big box stores. You bring something home, you lug it home. It's not even that healthy anyway. And you get a bunch of dirt and crap in your car that you're having to vacuum out later. No. Go to the world's largest online nursery. Go, they've got a ton of different selections. They can also, you can go through and do a quiz and tell them where you live, what your soil's like, what your weather's like, and they will get you the best ones that will thrive in your area. They will deliver it to your door in 1 or 2 days. They've got it all. You got to check it out. It comes with like this root ball, and it's very, very easy. You just dig a hole, plant it in there. Everything is already in there. Cover it back up, and it should be ready to go. All right. Join over 1 million satisfied customers and growing. Now through November 30th, if you go to fastgrowingtrees.com/Y, you will get 15% off. That is fastgrowingtrees.com/Y. Obviously, a lot brought to the table there by our friend Dell. Gentlemen, I want to get your thoughts. We've got a couple minutes left before we've got to take another break, but I do want to give you a chance to.
Yeah, look, I want to go somewhere Dell didn't go, and just we skipped clinical trial. We skipped trial on animals because the animals kept dying, mm-hmm. right? And we just jumped from animals to humans. And so this is me, Sarah, okay? Mm-hmm. This is me. I have to believe that he was saying Fauci is the evil guy and those who control Fauci, and that's a small group, but they know. They know. And I am one of those, and it's not conspiracy to go, they know what this does to the human being.
I mean, certainly if they don't, they shouldn't be the ones authoritating to everyone else.
And because they know, I'm telling you, and this is, I am going to go to the nefarious route and go, that's the same crowd that believes we are overpopulated on this planet. That's the same crowd that wants to control people. They want slaves. They want minions, right? And so 100% do I believe they are killing people on purpose. And no, every doctor and a nurse down the line, okay, but at some point now also the evidence is coming out. Mm-hmm. So every doctor now should be asking real hard questions.
Or they're complicit. And this is where people get uncomfortable.
It's like for the greater good. That's what they think.
This is what people get uncomfortable. It's like what I talk about with like teachers and stuff like that, because nobody wants to look at their neighbor, their friends, their family, mm-hmm. and look at them and say that you're part of the problem. Mm-hmm. I do. I've been saying on the show since March 2020 that, you know, when I started to see some of the ridiculous reactions that made no sense in context of the rest of modern history, I thought something was up. So, yeah. And if people that watch the show, they know that around that time, later that year, I had did a long form video where I had said they're evil. Mm-hmm. And it rubbed a lot of folks the wrong way because they look at it like they try to project their like set of morals and ethics on bad people. And that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So when I looked at it, I'm like, OK, I know that you're doing something that is evil. I have to at least concede it. I have to at least admit it. If I want to come to terms with the reality. But some people are like, well, unless it's this bad, why else would they do it? Mm-hmm. And if you're searching for the answer, eventually you're going to get to, well, they're just bad people. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's hard to like to react to, because what it does is it not only forces you to look in the mirror to see how you're complicit in it, it forces you to look at some of your family members in a completely different way. Just because they're all saying it, number one, does not make it true. Nor does it mean that they're not evil sons of people.
He censored himself. We didn't have to do it. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
Very close. They're sons of people.
I actually think you can say that. All right, don't forget to go check out Dell Bigtree over at thehighwire.com. Make sure to check out all of his latest episodes. He's got great stuff there, things that other people are not saying. By the way, he's like banned almost everywhere. He can't get the message out in all of the usual places, which we probably won't be able to either. So I just want to just make sure it's important. Not only are you following Dell, you're following Yacoub Bouyans, and you're also following Eric July over here, where they have all of their shows. You also got to subscribe to Blaze TV, because you're not going to get the full story anymore on YouTube and those other places. So make sure you are subscribing, blazetv.com.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.